Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
This morning, I'd love to share a little bit about families. I love that already. We have been talking about families. We are a family. And I really hope and pray that this morning that we can all be participants of this. Sometimes we go to places and we sit comfortably and we've been here, we tick a box, we've attended. But I really challenge you today that it may be more than that for you. Not because what I'm going to say or what I'm looking for God to speak through me and what he's impressed upon my heart, but that's what we're actually all called to be, is participants on this journey of life. Is that okay this morning? So whether you listen or switch off, that's your choice, but I pray that you may participate in what happens here and then take it with you. It's not just, this is great, let's go. What are we going to do next? What does it mean to me? And God will speak to you differently. Have you ever been in a meeting and God speaks to you and you think, oh, how did he tell the person on the stage what was going on in my life this week? Like, who told them that? Nobody else should know. And God speaks to everybody so differently because we're all on a different part of the journey. And I love that. I love how he does that. Let us pray before we start. Father God, we come to you this morning. And I pray that our ears might be inclined to you, because we've already sung that we're not worthy, but you actually ask us to partner with you in sharing your love and your hope in this world. And I pray that we might share your life, your light, and your love in such a way that others might see that we go from here and share that in whatever circumstances we live in, whatever our ordinary day looks like. I pray that you might challenge us today in Jesus' name. Amen. We all think of different things when we hear the word family. We have different images. We have different memories. We have memories from long ago. We have happy memories. We have sad memories. We have memories of perhaps yesterday. What did family look like for you yesterday? And we all have a different view of family because we are all different. Even within the one family, it still looks different. I want to share about my family and give you a little bit of an insight into my world and also challenge you about what does family look like for you. I think a lot of things when I hear the word family, but first I think of my immediate family, the family that I was born into. I have a mum and a dad and I have three brothers. That is my immediate family. My eldest brother is 10 years older than me, and my second brother is 6 years older than me, and then my youngest brother is 3 years older than me. So I know what you're all thinking. I'm the youngest, the only girl, and the spoilt little one. I beg to differ. I don't have my brothers in the room to say anything different. I don't think I was spoilt as the little girl. But anyway, if you want to contact them later, I won't give you their details. I have a very different relationship with all three of my brothers. My oldest brother is the guy that I went to for wisdom and advice. The middle brother, I went to him for fun and for a laugh. He can be serious too. My youngest brother, he was born deaf and he's 3 years older than me. And so our relationship was quite close because we were the closest in age and we grew up doing a lot of things together. He didn't start talking until he was about four, which I was one at that stage. So we sort of learnt to talk together. So we were very close. We'd sit in the back of the car and have silent conversations because I learnt to lip read very well. My parents had no idea what we were talking about, and to this day, we can still talk very silently with no one knowing what's going on. It's a little bit of fun. I have great memories of my family. We did a lot of camping. bushwalking. We spent a lot of time together. I was brought up in the church. My mum and dad were quite heavily involved and still are in their church. And so that was a big part of my life. Our home life was people were always coming and going, especially if a church lunch, there'd always be lots of food. Everybody would hang out at our house. So I have many great laughs and memories of what family life was like for me. This also includes my now family when we think of the word family. So that was my immediate family. I married my husband Ben 26 years ago. We've just got crunchies and Turkish delights for our 26th wedding anniversary. So that's a different aspect to family. So I married Ben and I've got three children, Josh, Eli and Sophie. Thanks for being in the house today, boys. Sophie's in Brisbane. What was that? Yeah, she couldn't be here today. 26 years ago, when I married into Ben's family, I actually inherited more in my family. And so I inherited their side of the family as well. And since then, some of my nieces and nephews and family have got married and had children. So family is always changing. It's always changing. So now I have one dad, one mum, one father-in-law, one mother-in-law, three brothers, two brother-in-laws, five sister-in-laws, one husband, two daughters, two sons. Hang on. Did you all pick up on that? Anyone in here, my other daughter? I have lots of adopted daughters, so I think that fits. Two sons, one daughter, five nephews, seven nieces, two nephew-in-laws. Is that what you call them? That's what I am. Four niece-in-laws, three great-nieces, and two great-nephews. My family has changed a lot over 26 years, and I love it. So family looks different for all of us. That's just a snapshot of my family. But is family restricted to our own immediate family only? Have you heard the African proverb? It takes a village to raise a child. It means that an entire community of people must interact with children for those children to experience and grow in a safe and healthy environment. The villagers look out for the children. This doesn't mean the entire village is responsible for raising your children or the children of the crowd, but that we look out for. I feel like family extends beyond the immediate family. It extends beyond the extended family that I talked about. I think that family is best represented by all of these things, but it's so much more. The village that we talk about, or a word that we probably use more today, would be community, that we're more familiar with, our community. As we grow up, whether we consciously aware or not, there have been so many people in our lives that have contributed to raising us in family, community, village, you call it whatever you want, but sometimes we're unaware of those that are speaking into our life. And it's not just when we're growing up, because we're still growing. We are still learning and we're still part of a family, of a community, and a village. In a world where we are more connected, yet increasingly isolated, we need to be intentional about community. Let me say that again. In a world where we are more connected, everyone's got phones in their back pocket, yet increasingly isolated, we need to be intentional about community. And if you've been around here for a little while, you may know my favourite verse that I say over and over again. Hebrews 10:24 says, spurring one another on to love and good deeds. That's what we're here for and that's what we need to do. We need to share our lives with others in a community because we can actually be a great encouragement to others. Have you ever been in that place where somebody has spoken into your life and it's a great encouragement to you? Sometimes it's a little bit scary for things to flip around, that we can actually speak up, be bold and brave, and speak into somebody else's life. I challenge you. Family is more than just family. that we're born into. Family's connection. Family is belonging. Family is feeling safe. Family is a place to grow and be heard. Family is a place for teaching and for learning. Being born into a family just happens. But creating family requires intentionality. The things that connect us are often things that we have in common, such as personality or abilities or our love for sport or movies or music or books or arts or age can connect us. Location, being all here in the one building connects us. Past experiences, similar upbringings. These can all be a point of connection. And there are many things that bring people together. We all have stories of how we met our best friend or our school friend or how we've connected with our work colleague. It usually starts with some sort of common ground. We have a bit of a conversation. Oh, you like that? Oh, that's cool. Tell me about that. That's how it starts and where we find the common ground. The people that are closest to us are not always our family. But it's our village or a community that we need to be around us, to shape us, to help us grow. And that includes our family, but not exclusive of just that. We can learn from others' experiences. We can learn from people's mistakes if you're willing to listen and to learn. We can only learn if people are also willing to share. There is so much to learn from one another, from family, from village, and from community. In Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith." In my Bible study notes, it gives a bit of an explanation about that. And I have these images. I'm not sure if you do at the same time. The imagery of this verse suggests an athletic contest in a great amphitheatre. The witnesses are the heroes of the past who have just been mentioned in chapter 11 of the Hebrews. They are not spectators, but inspiring examples. The Greek word translated witnesses into the origin of the English word martyr, which means testifiers and witnesses. That's not a silent thing, to testify or to witness. They bear testimony to the power of faith and to God's faithfulness. Those that have gone before, how do we gain knowledge from those that have gone before? We learn from their mistakes, from their trials and their errors. I want to teach people about my mistakes so they don't do that. We all should be doing that. If only we glean a small bit of information along the journey of life that helps us all out. And we can probably all think of those people that have gone before, that have taught us and explained to us and shared with us so that we can skip that hardship in life. We don't get to skip it all because sometimes we need to go through to learn, but that they can help us through that. The great cloud of witnesses. There are many recorded in the Bible of those that have gone before. But there are people in our everyday, ordinary lives that we consider to be witnesses as well. Those ready to cheer us on. There may be somebody sitting beside you right now, or somebody in this room, or someone that you can think of that is always ready to cheer you on. I love the concept of mentoring. Now, I think sometimes we get a little bit caught up on that word, and it's a scary word, but stay with me. Someone, I think, with the word mentoring, someone that you can talk with, someone that you can journey life with. And I thought in my younger years, it would be a great idea to have a mentor. Not a bad idea, hey. But I wasn't sure who that person would be. And I wanted to find somebody. And I looked around in the church that I was a part of at the time, and I was looking for the right person. And I didn't think there was anyone in my circle of influence that I could see as my mentor. And then I thought a little bit more about it, and I thought, well, I'll just wait. Don't know what I'm waiting for, but I'll just wait for this person to come along. And what do you do in the waiting? And then I asked the question of, well, how long do I wait for? And then I actually had the thought that What would a mentor be like and what would they actually do? I look back over my life and I thought, actually, there's many people that haven't had that title, but they've done exactly what I'm looking for in my life. So it's not actually about the word. As I said before, sometimes we get hung up about the word, but there have been people that have talked into my life, spoken into my life, that has given me advice and instruction when I needed it the most. What were these people like? I started to think. They were everyday, ordinary people. Someone who listened, someone who cared, and someone who wanted the best for me, and they pointed me to Jesus. That was my village. They were my people. Some of them a family. They believed in me. They encouraged me to be the best version that I could be of who I am. I thought that if I didn't currently have a mentor that I could spend time with, somebody who I could talk to, were there other people around me that didn't have that person also? So are there a room full of people waiting? And again, how long do we wait for? And I decided in that moment of realization that I actually didn't have to wait to receive to actually give. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you don't have to wait to receive to give. I decided in the waiting, in this season while I was waiting, I decided to be an everyday ordinary person. Any everyday ordinary people out there? Great. We're all on the same page. I just need to be somebody who listens, someone who cares, someone who wants the best for others and points them to Jesus. That makes it simple. Get rid of the word. I didn't want to have to wait, and I didn't want others to have to wait. So I looked around in the church that I was at, and there was a whole heap of young girls, youth age girls, and I wanted to love them. I wanted to listen to them, and I wanted to encourage them and point them to Jesus. Wow. So I did that. Just listened. Listened to their journey. Listened to where they were at. Encouraged them where I could. Prayed for them and pointed them to Jesus. And this is not a wow me moment. I'm that everyday, ordinary person. I could have sat waiting for my mentor, because I did for a while, but I decided I could actually be that person to somebody else. I could be the waiting for somebody else who was waiting. And my prayer continued, and I was still waiting for a period of time. During that time, I became a mum, and my circumstances changed, but my prayer didn't. I was invited to a mother's group starting up in Burnie called MOPS, and stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. I had a friend who was starting it up, and she invited me to go to the first one. And I was a part of a play group in my local community. I lived in Penguin at the time, and I loved the play group that I was a part of. But I thought, I'll just go to support my friend. This is starting up. You never know how many people are going to rock on up when you start something up. It's a bit scary. So I decided to go to her first meeting. And needless to say, I was addicted, absolutely addicted, for the good reasons and the right reasons, let me say. Just need to clarify that. I loved the group. There were other mums there. And the best thing that I loved was the time that we got to spend in discussion with one another. The children got to be cared for separately. We had 2 hours of child-free time while I was having a cuppa, morning tea, chatting with mothers, listening to a speaker on the motherhood journey, and a time to discuss and a craft as well. Just a little plug for Mums at Life, those that are in that age group, similar type of thing. I loved it. I love the intentional discussion time. I discovered a lot about myself. I discovered that I was normal in the mothering journey. I discovered that my struggles were normal. I discovered that there were other mums that were on a similar path to me, and we decided that we would do life together. I also discovered that there were mums that had survived the trials of child rearing, and that they were actually okay. They looked okay anyway. And I wanted to be one of those that survived. Because realistically, at that point in time, I just had my L plates on. And I just wanted to know how to navigate life with them. It was a loving environment. There were women there with a wealth of knowledge, a room full of mums. They didn't have all the answers, but they had suggestions. Try this, see if it works. I tried this, see if it works. It was a place of no judgment, just acceptance. People who were willing to share what they had learnt along the way. I really appreciated this time. I discovered that my two boys were normal. Not that I ever thought that you were abnormal boys, but a bit of context. My friend Sarah, where are you? She had this beautiful little girl called Gabby, and Gabby sat still for a very long time. My boys did not sit still. So that was my concept of parenting. This girl sat still, my boys did not. So when I went to MOPS, I found out that that's okay. Boys don't have to sit still. Boys are busy. That's fine. It's nothing to do with my parenting. I love my boys. I found out that I was normal and they were as well. Well, you know, we're all unique and different in our own little way. But we won't go down that sidetrack right now. You can talk to me later if you like. I met mums in that place that just welcomed me with open arms. I realised that there were mums there that were one step ahead, literally one step ahead, and they felt my pain. They had questions just like me, and they had been willing to walk this path and be beside me and giving me the answers to their questions that they probably had only just discovered for themselves. This was the beginning of something really special for me, something that God has grown in my heart over time. Ever felt like there's a place that you just belong, that you feel comfortable? It's a safe place, people that surround you and love you. This is because this is a great place to be. It may be a place surrounded by family. It may be your village. It may be your community. We have seasons we go through, and finding a place is an important season and a great place to be. And a safe place was MOPS for me. It's not about the place, and we also shouldn't stay too long in a place that we feel too comfortable. Why? Why can't we stay in a place that we feel too comfortable? Pastor Peter often quotes, because God is more interested in developing our character than our comfort. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable, but don't stay there for too long to grow stagnant. When we're too comfortable, we become too familiar, we become too relaxed, and we can become complacent. MOPS was a great place for me, and that could have been all of the above for me, because I was comfortable. I was gaining help and I was receiving from others, and it was a great place and I needed to be there for a season. But it was important that I didn't stand still. I came to the realization that just because I didn't have all the answers, that I didn't have anything at all to give. New mums came with babies and they were in the same position that I had been in before. I had to make a choice. Was I here just to gather information, just to become a better mum myself and understand more about who I was in my mothering journey? Was I just here to gather from others, learn from their experiences, their trials, their errors? That was a great place to be, and I enjoyed that, and that is a part of who I am today. But don't stay there. Don't stay in your safe place. I could have. Or the other choice for me was I could be vulnerable. I can share myself with others, the things that I had discovered along the way. Now, being vulnerable is scary. You don't know how others will respond. Being vulnerable means that you are sharing your own thoughts and your experiences. Being vulnerable means standing on this stage right now. Being vulnerable may mean that others may reject what I have to offer. Am I okay with that? Do I actually want to do that? That's scary stuff. Or the last question may be, do I actually have anything to offer at all? This involved giving to others in the way that we are vulnerable, just as others had done for me. I didn't have all the answers. I still don't have all the answers. But what I do have, I'm willing to give. If in some way I can shed a little bit of light into somebody's dark world, if the journey of motherhood could be eased by my story, my journey, my experiences, my trials or errors, just like someone had done for me, what does that look like for you? What about your journey, your trials, your errors? Can you speak into somebody else's life and shed that little bit of light that they just might need? Mops was a safe place to be vulnerable. No one had all the answers, but we're all there to help each other. It was a choice that I had to make. Did I want to be vulnerable? Do I want to stand out? Do I want to actually expose myself in that place? I still don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to be vulnerable. I'm happy to give to others. If nothing else, a listening ear. You can't put a price on a good pair of listening ears, hey? This is how we do village. This is how we do community. It was during this time I decided it was time to give back. Yes, I was comfortable, but it's time to give back. As big or as small, whatever I had, I wanted to give back. I wanted to give like others had given to me. I'd had that safe place. I'd learnt, but I didn't want to stay there. If I could help lighten someone's load, then I was in. If I was able to be a listening ear to someone, then I wanted to be in. If I was able to show someone a shortcut in their parenting journey to get rid of the hard work, don't have an answer to that, but hey, let's struggle and work it out together. I'm in. It was during this time and all the mentoring stuff and all the craziness of life that I began to have this picture of what life looked like for me, and it was blurry. It was really blurry. I didn't understand and I couldn't see the full image, and it's developed over time and still continuing to develop even to this day. I had an image, and the only thing that was clear really was me. I was standing in the middle. There were three women and I was standing in the middle. There was an older woman to one side and a younger woman to the other side. And we were climbing. The three of us were climbing, and the lady in front of me was reaching down and holding onto my hand, and I was holding onto her hand. And also I was looking behind, and there was somebody coming behind me, and they were younger, and I was doing the same thing. I was holding onto their hand. And sometimes in life, we are holding on to somebody who has gone before. And sometimes we're holding on to the people that are coming after us. And sometimes we're doing it at the same time. We don't wait to arrive, because we may never arrive at whatever that arrival place looks like in your head. We don't wait till somebody cries out for help if we can see that they need help. And this image was not necessarily age dependent, but it was sort of a bit blurry in my mind, and it sort of had those concepts of the somebody has gone before, the great witnesses that have gone before, and somebody was coming behind. I decided it would be a great idea to get an artist to paint this blurry image in my head. I don't know if anyone's tried to get an artist to paint anything. I've never have. But I had a chat with an artist and I explained to her this image, and she goes, I'll paint that for you. I'm like, great, that would be absolutely amazing. I can hang it on my office wall, not that I have an office wall, but hey, it would be really cool so that I could have it to see and to show people, like, what is going on up here, just that part of what's going on up here. But I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to explain it. I wanted to do it right, and I didn't know what the people looked like because it was blurry. How do you explain to somebody what is going on in here? I knew some of the features. Like I said, that I knew that I was the middle person, so that's easy. But what do the other two women look like in my life? And then I thought, well, is it someone like my mother? Is it someone like my grandmother? Was it my next door neighbour who had a lot to do in my life growing up? Was it my youth leaders? But I didn't know who these people were. Is it somebody who has spoken into my life? I didn't know what they looked like, so I couldn't explain it to be painted. And then the younger person, who is this younger person? Is it people that I have mentored and spent time with? Is it the girls from youth group? Is it the friends that I've got? Are the girls from camp at Camp Clayton? Is it my daughter? Who are these people? Who are these young people? Who is it that we're trying to actually paint? And then I thought, ah, great idea, internet. I will Google older women pictures. So I did. Have you ever done that before? Very interesting. I don't know why you would. But I did. And then I'm like, I don't know what their face looks like. Older women back on. And you get the images of the back of somebody. It's like, do they have grey hair? Was it short? Was it long? It's a side-on picture. I still don't know who this person is. Isn't the internet meant to help you out? And then I did the same for the younger, and I was still back in the same position. Okay, that's too hard. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to hang on my office wall. And then I had a friend who offered to photograph the image for me. I'm like, beauty, this will be easier. Three people, stand like this, get it done, click, 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 all sorted. But I had the same problem. Who am I going to choose? Who's going to be that older person? Who's going to be that younger person? And this really bothered me because I really wanted this picture to print out because it meant a lot to me. And if it means something to you, that's great, but it doesn't matter. I'm okay with that. It means something to me and I wanted it to be printed out. I didn't know who I was going to choose. Anyway, it would be great to go, dinner, here it is. I've got nothing to show you. Why was it so hard? Why was it so hard? And I discovered over time that the reason why it was so hard is there's not one older person who has spoken into my life. There is a multiple, many, many, many people. So there's not one picture. There's not one image. If I chose one, then I'm missing out on all the other people that have actually spoken into my life. Likewise, I don't just spend time with one younger person. There are many younger people that I have spent time with, so I can't choose one. And this was a relieving moment for me. How thick am I? I finally got it. There are so many people that have spoken into my life. I thought it was lovely to realise this. And I no longer struggle and I no longer want the image printed. It's just in my head and in my heart and I share it when I can. I think this image can speak to all of us. It speaks of our past and our present and our future. In our past, we may be able to think of someone who has spoken into our lives, people that have gone before, people that who are our village, people who are our family, people who have spoken into your life and given encouragement when encouragement was needed. And sometimes they speak encouragement when you don't even know you need it. Someone to spur you on to love and good deeds when you feel like giving up. That person is there. Someone who has sat, who has listened, who has dried your tears when all hope is lost. Someone who has prayed for us through the tough times, and they pray for us even when we don't ask for prayer, but they just seem to know. Someone who can celebrate the good times with us. Someone who's always there. But it's a choice that we have to make to be vulnerable, to let others into our lives. This is the church that is spoken of in the New Testament. The body of Christ, where we are vulnerable, where we learn from each other, where we encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. This is family. This is the village. This is living in community, looking out for others as others have looked out for us. Those ahead who we can learn from and those behind who we can love and encourage. In a world where we are more connected yet increasingly isolated, we need to be more intentional about community. We're born into a family, but we need to be intentional about community. We need to not live in isolation. We need to surround ourselves with community, with family, with village. Community looks different for everyone, but it's important you surround yourself with people that will uplift you. people that will speak truth, godly men and women that will spur us on. Hold tight to these people, but not too tight, because only God can provide all we need. In holding on to those that have gone before, those with godly wisdom, those that can speak truth and life into your life, it's important to look around, not just at those that have gone before, but who's coming behind. Those that you can share your experiences with. Do you want to put your hand up and say, yes, I'll do that. I'll be that person. I'll be vulnerable. Those that you can encourage, speak truth and life and point them to Jesus. Yes, it requires being vulnerable. That's the scary bit. We don't have all the answers. We don't have everything that everybody needs. Only God has that. But he wants to use us. He wants to speak through us. So as we finish, family, who is presently in your circle that you can extend a helping hand to, that you can help and encourage and spur on to love and good deeds? Let us be intentional about encouraging others on the journey of life. Let us share our lives with others, become vulnerable, testify. Remember that word we said before, testify is not a silent thing. We need to testify. Holding on to those that have gone before and looking at those who are coming behind. What does your family look like? Who's in your village? Think of the communities that surrounds you. How can you be vulnerable? How can you share your journey? Share the highs and share the lows. Don't share your Instagram reel. Share the whole lot, because we need to know that. Because sometimes we go through stuff and it looks like no one else has gone through it. It's just me. It's not true. Let's start being people who speak truth. I don't mean you need to bear everything on Instagram. Let's do it face to face. How can you be vulnerable? How can you share your journey? How can you share the highs and lows in your life to be an encouragement to others? And what does this mean to you? Is there someone that you need to reach out today? Someone in front of you, someone who has gone before? Do you need to spend time in their presence because they love you, they want to encourage you, and they want to point you to Jesus? Or is there somebody coming behind that you need to do the same for them? Are they lost? Are they hurting? Who is that person? They need someone to believe in them. They need someone to spur them on to love and good deeds and to point them to Jesus. They may get lost along the way. Are you willing to take up the challenge? As I said at the beginning, we can sit and listen, but I want you to participate. And it wasn't necessarily the participation in what I had to say, but as we go from today, what does that look like for you? What does your world look like? Let's get our hands full of people. Let the picture be blurry so we don't have one person in front of us, but we've got multiple people, both in front and behind. Who is ahead of you that you can reach out to, and who is coming behind that you can encourage? This is family, this is community, this is village. Remember who somebody, when somebody has spoken over your life. Maybe it's time for you to be vulnerable and do that. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you that you've been here today, that you consider us family, that we are your sons and your daughters, that you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. I pray that we might not go from here thinking that this was a great service, but Father, that you might touch our hearts and change us, that we might testify of your goodness in our life to spur one another on to love and good deeds, that we might share the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, so that we can be an encouragement to one another, so that we might rip off the masks that we've got everything together, but just do life together in a real and authentic way. We pray that you have challenged us today, that you might send us out on mission to point others to Jesus and to make you known. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.